Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for tonight and for the opportunity you've given us to hear an important message about your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we know through the great love that you have shown for us, that a degree of love that we cannot measure, that you loved us enough, Lord, even though we have sinned against you, to send your Son to die in this sinful world. Lord, we are thankful that your Son accomplished what you purposed him to do on the cross. That great example of love and commitment and obedience, Lord, is the same type of obedience we should have for you today. We pray, Lord, that Brother Harper tonight help us all understand why Jesus died. Also in the why, but he tell us how he died. That we are more than just mere thankful for his service on the cross, but we are thankful and wanting to be obedient and become children of his dear Father. Lord, thank you for the Church of Christ, where that same Jesus who suffered at Calvary, that same Jesus who got out of the grave, is the same Jesus who is the head over his church, the Church of Christ. Lord, pray someone wants to obey this truth tonight. We ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Plunder. We're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on, Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. And we want to welcome those who are not members of the Church of Christ to our call tonight. We're excited to have you on. We pray now you open your Bible and follow along with our speaker and pay particular attention to the things he talks about as it pertains to saving of your precious soul. Tonight, our speaker, the person of Nathan Harper, is minister with his father here at the North Sheridan Church of Christ here in the Houston area. And we're thankful to have him and his father, Martin, on our call during this Father's Son Month. But Nathan Harper will bring us a message tonight. Of course, our theme is Destiny is Written, and he's going to talk about why Jesus died. So at this time, if you would give your ear to Brother Nathan Harper. Brother Harper, tell us why Jesus died.
All right. Well, first and foremost, I just want to thank the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, merciful, and patient and loving God of heaven for granting us all an opportunity to be here on tonight, allowing us to see a day that we haven't seen before, but also a day in which we'll never see again. I want to thank Brother Brooks and everyone who works with him so closely to make sure that these calls are being done from week to week. And I just pray that I can say something on tonight that will cause you to want to know more about God's will, way, and his purpose for your life. And I pray that that you're ready, already ready, have your Bibles open and you're ready to read God's word. But more importantly, I'm praying that your heart is open. And as you read God's word, you'll be ready to receive God's word into your heart. Now let's pray before we get started. Heavenly righteous Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings, for everything that you have bestowed upon us, the Father. Father, we just thank you right now for your kindness, your love, your mercy, your patience. Father, we know that you have been better to us than we have been to ourselves. Father, we just pray that you may guide my words and the things that I may say on tonight, that I may speak the truth, but also speak the truth in love and sincerity. And Lord, we just pray that you may be with me, be with those that are listening on the call, that they may receive your word as well. That they may not be offended by anything that's said by your word, but they may be surrender their hearts to your word, wherever it may see fit. Christ, may we pray this prayer. Amen. I want us to read on tonight Matthew chapter 27, 33 through 54. Matthew chapter 27, 33 through 54. On tonight, my topic is, why did Christ die? Why did Christ die? Matthew chapter 27, 33 through 54. And it reads, "And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted therefore, he would not drink. And they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, that they parted my garments among them, and they among and vesture they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head the accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' There were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. And as they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, 'Thou destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross.' Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders, and said, 'Save others himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them stood there when they heard it. The man called for Elias, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on the reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rockets rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which were slept arose and came out of the graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. You know, the question on tonight is simply why. It's why. Why did Christ die? Why would an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-perfect, thrice-holy, Alpha and the Omega, self-sufficient and self-sustaining God, the one who dwells in heaven, voluntarily come to a sin-filled, heartbreaking, and imperfect place called earth, clothe himself in humanity, and humble himself to a cross? Why would the infinite be at the mercy of the finite? Why would the perfect be at the mercy of the imperfect? And why would the creator be at the mercy of the creation? Why would he willingly endure the pain and the suffering and the humiliation? Why would he endure a crown of thorns or a cross of shame? Or why would he endure the cry of mockery or the cry of loneliness? The one who spoke the universe into existence, in his agony, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did Christ die? What kept him on the cross? I want to tell you on tonight that the Master, the King of Kings, the Anointed One, died on the cross because it was a part of the plan. It was a part of the plan. I want you to know that there has never been anything that Jesus has ever done on accident. From the moment he entered the world, he was on assignment. Have you ever heard the expression, plan the work and then work the plan? Well, before the birth of time, before the creation of man, before the concept of sin was ever entertained by man or woman, God in his infinite wisdom and his loving wisdom plan had a plan to redeem mankind. How do I know? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, verse 23. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to 23, we see that Peter is preaching the first gospel message. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. He says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. Here in verse 23, the Bible says that the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, meaning that it was determined by the counsel and the foreknowledge of God, meaning that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they were all in one accord to this plan. The word determinate carries this idea that it had always been in plan, that it was determined already. I remember when I was a kid, I used to always want to wear my own clothes to school. And I remember my mom telling me, she said, hey, no, son, you know, the school already has uniforms. In other words, she was telling me that the boundaries of my wardrobe had already been determined, that there was no need for me to worry or to concern myself, that it was already determined that what I would wear in school before I had even started school. Well, God has the same marked out plan boundary for us and for humanity, for the plan for redemption, for reconciliation, and for us to be saved eternally. It was in his plan. I don't know about you, but for some reason that excites me, the idea that before the beginning of time, it was already in the plan of God, in the mind of God, that he wanted to redeem the world already. It's one thing for your life to work out accidentally, but it's another thing for your life to work out because of a designed plan. In other words, God is saying you have never been an afterthought. You have never been an accident. You have always been on my mind. You have always been the apple of my eye. Your friends may reject you. Your friends may not understand you. Your family may even abuse you. But the God of all creation, I have always wanted you. Even in all of your mistakes, I have factored into my beautiful and glorious plan that I have for you. So the question is, why did Christ die? It was because it was a part of his plan. The second reason why Christ died was because we had a sin problem. We had a sin problem. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. That's not some of us, but that's all of us. We have the shame. We have the guilt. We have the punishment. We deserve death. You know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 25. You can clearly see the purpose of why Christ died. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. So what you see here is that Jesus died for our transgressions because of our offenses. That's what the word transgressions means, that we offended the holiness of God, that we did, that it was our fault, it was our problems, it was our sins, that we made the mistakes, not Christ, that it was my rebellion, my perversion, my spiritual failure, my addiction, my bitterness, my anger. It was those things that brought Jesus to the cross. Jesus stepped in and became our substitute. Now, that's good news. He came in and became our substitute. We were the one that was deserving of death, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. He's the one that became not only just, but also the justifier, according to Romans chapter 6. He's the one. So why did Jesus die? He died to not only because it was a part of his plan, because we sin, but also because of our transgressions, but also to justify us, according to Romans chapter 4, 25. He died because he wanted to justify, just as if we had never sinned. We now can come before the throne of God. Why did Christ die is the question. He died because we wanted to remove the wrath of God, according to 1 John 4:10. He died because so that we can be forgiven of all of our sins. But here's the one thing that I want us to see on tonight. Here's the one thing that 1 Peter 3, verse 18 makes it very, very plain why Christ died. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He says, "For Christ also has once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." I want us to see this one point here. He says that he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. I want us to see that everything else is just a means for us to be able to be brought to God. The justification, the removal of the wrath of God, the forgiveness, it's all in order for us to be brought to God. It's a means for us to be brought to God. I mean, why would you want to be forgiven? I mean, just in your particular situation, in your humanity, what's the motivation to be forgiven? Is it to remove your guilt? Is it so that you can be removed of the shame, so that you can have a clear conscience, so that you can sleep better at night? Why would you want to be forgiven? And so the gospel is trying to let us know that he's drawing us back to God. That's the whole That's the conclusion that he wants us to know, that I can have fellowship with God. I can enjoy his presence. I can treasure him, that my affections may be towards him, that I don't see serving and worshiping and praising God out of duty, but I do it because it's my desire. I want people to know that through my life, I am magnifying God, that I'm making much of God because I've been in the presence of God. That's what it's all about. It's not just about being forgiven. It's the fact that I miss the affections. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we just want to be forgiven. We want to get the removal of the guilt. But we know we have knowledge, and we know that we can't just rely on book knowledge, but we have to understand that God is trying to get us to have our hearts and our commitment and our emotions and our affections towards him every single day. You know, I thought about an idea of a husband and a wife, and how that a husband, perhaps one day he wakes up in the morning and he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, and he says something to his wife that might be a little harsh or not gentle. And so his wife is kind of upset about that, and she doesn't like that. And so she goes into the kitchen, she turns her back on her husband, and she's doing something in the kitchen. But the husband can feel the tension. He can feel that there's the fellowship is not there anymore. And so the husband decides to say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have spoken to you in that manner. I should have spoken to you in that way." And so she turns around. He says, "Will you forgive me?" And she forgives him. Now, what if she forgives him and she turns around and she continues doing what she's doing, and he turns around, he continues to do what he's doing? There's no fellowship. There's no affection. There's no embracing of any kind. There's now a removal of guilt. There's a removal of a knowledge of the fact that I have a clean conscience now towards my wife, but there's no affection. There's no love. There's no sense of fellowship there. And so what I wanted to know here is that's why Christ died. Christ died so that we may be brought to God, that our affections, that we can lose the affections that we once had for the world, and that we have those affections now being drawn to God. That God wants us, from the beginning of time, he wanted us to be in his fellowship. The Bible says that we all have sinned, and through that sin and through that we have gone away from God. We have strayed away from God, and our hearts have gone away from God. Jesus wants to be your truth. He wants to be your way, and he wants to be your life. Matter of fact, he wants you to have the abundant life. He wants you to have the joy, the peace, and the love. But I've come today to tell you that the enemy wants the complete opposite for your life. The complete opposite. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to be lost. He wants you to be negative. He wants you to be angry, bitter. He wants you to be shackled by your past. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your love for God. He doesn't want you to go to heaven at all. In fact, he likes to bring up your past. That's what he does. And everything that's against you, everything that you've done wrong. When I think about a person like that, someone that would voluntarily bring up your past, bring up the things that you've done wrong, what I think about is a prosecutor. You know, years ago, I got a chance to be with a young man that was in a courtroom, and the prosecutor just bringing up his charges and all the things that he had committed, all the things that he had done wrong. And I thought to myself that I've never personally had to go into a courtroom and have a prosecutor bring up my crimes that I've committed. I've never experienced that in the physical, but I have experienced that in the spiritual, and I believe you have as well. So what I want you to do, that just for a moment, I want you to use your spiritual imaginations on tonight. And I want you to imagine that you're in a courtroom this evening, and that there are two people there. One on your left, he's called the accuser of the brethren. And you may know him as Satan. He's standing there waiting to accuse you. But on the right, there's one that's called the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, Jesus Christ. And in the courtroom, the accuser of the brethren will bring up all of your charges. He will be the prosecutor, and he will go down the list of everything you have ever done that is wrong, all the unjust, and how unjust you are to be in the sight of a holy God, and how you should not be allowed the privilege to go and enjoy heaven. And he'll tell Jesus something like this. He'll say, you know, at 12, this young man, he began to lie. You know, at 13, he began to curse. At 14, he began to watch pornography. At 15, he began to hang around the wrong environment. At 16 and 17, he began to become disrespectful to his parents, giving them a hard time. At 18, he left his parents' house, went off to school, and forgot all about you. And Friday and Saturday nights were his party nights. And on Sunday, he didn't even think about you enough to get up for worship. He stayed in bed and he rested all throughout his 20s. He had good livelihood. He made good money, but he never could give anything back to you. He got married, but he cheated on his wife. He rejected his own children. And we know that you said that a man who won't take care of his own children is worse than an unbeliever. What are you going to do with that, Jesus? And Jesus will nod his head in agreement and say, everything you said is true. But because you are the father of lies, there are some things you have failed to mention. This is my child by creation, and nothing can separate him from my love. You failed to mention that over 2,000 years ago, I demonstrated my love towards this young man, and I made salvation available to him. See, when he was 12 and he began to lie, I took 39 lashes on my back for that. When he was 13 and began to curse, I took the crown of thorns on my head just for that. When he was 14 and began to watch pornography, I walked up Calvary and bore a cross on my back just for that. When he was 15, he began to hang around the wrong environment. I took nails in my hand just for that. When he started to develop a temper, it hurt me, but on the cross I yelled out, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he is doing. When he was 18 and he left for school, and on Sunday mornings he never thought about me. He stopped coming to worship, but my love wouldn't allow me to do the same thing to him, even though he didn't think about me. I thought about him. I thought about him one early Sunday morning when I said goodbye to the grave. I told the grave clothes to loose me. I left the tomb empty, never to return again. I wasn't in a rush. I took my time and I folded the napkin that was around my head. I took my time because I knew that no one could stop me from my assignment. I know he didn't love me, but I loved him. And one Sunday morning, he responded to my love. He walked down the aisle with tears in his eyes. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He believed Jesus to be the Son of God. He repented of his sins. He confessed the sweetest name, and he was baptized for the remission of his sins. See, I made salvation available to him. So don't bring up his charges because his charges have been dismissed. His charges have been paid for. His charges have been dropped. I've already purchased him. According to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says that I have purchased the church with my own blood. And it is then that the accuser of the brethren walks away in defeat. I've come today to tell us on tonight that if you are not a Christian, you should be a Christian. That Jesus has grace for your guilt. That he has mercy for your mess ups. And that he has some patience for your imperfections. That you ought to come to Christ on tonight. Make that your call. Understand that Christ died for you because it was a part of the plan. He wanted to get rid of your transgressions. He wanted to justify you, take away the wrath of God towards you. And that finally, he just wanted you to be brought back to him, to have fellowship with him. You should respond to the gospel on tonight. Hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Believe. Believe the word of God, John chapter 20, 30 and 31. Repent of your sins, Luke chapter 13, 3 and 5. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts chapter 8. And you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. But Jesus says, Also, on one occasion in Mark chapter 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You should do that on tonight. Why did he die? He died for you, and he died for me.
Thank you, Brother Nathan. We appreciate the message. Certainly, we appreciate you. And that is a very, very powerful message. Make us all think about why Jesus died. And man, I am so thankful that in that courtroom, he spoke on my behalf. And I'm thankful that he went to that cross. Man, you brought that to us tonight. We appreciate you so very much. If you're on the call tonight, you ought to be touched by this message. Not a member of the Church of Christ. He talked about the blood that Jesus shed and purchased that church, which is the Church of Christ. And upon your obedience, the Lord would then add you to that church. And it's the only one in the Bible. It is the Church of Christ. Now, if you want to be baptized tonight and become a Christian, you know, he walked through the life of that young man, those who made those mistakes. All of us got that history. We made those mistakes. But Jesus died, and all of that could be forgiven. Do you want that forgiveness tonight? Why don't you get back with the person who put you on the call tonight, invited you to hear this. They wanted you to hear this truth. We want you to hear this truth. And tell them you want to be baptized, become a member of the true church, the Church of Christ. Because you understand why Jesus died for you. That your sins can be forgiven. And you don't have to face God's wrath. And you can be forgiven before you face God. You want to do that. Because on the day of judgment, there will be no opportunity there to get it right. Tonight, you need to do that. And if you have questions for us, for Brother Nathan, go ahead and go to email us, rather, at email at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you want to talk to Brother Nathan individually, we'll make that happen for you. If you have questions for us that you need answered to help you make this decision to become a Christian, send us an email. We'll respond to it. We'll make sure we get a teacher to you no matter where you are. If you're not in the Houston area, wherever you are in across the nation, and even those listeners in Japan, we can make sure someone get to you and teach you these basic truths that you need to know before you die. We want to help you. We want to help you. Now, maybe you want to go back and listen to this call. You want to listen to this message tonight, a very powerful message. You can go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And go click on Sermon tab. And there you see all our nationwide gospel reading calls for the month of November, all the way back to the month of May. And if there are certain topics you need to know more about baptism, more about the one church, the true church, plenty of topics on there. Go and listen to all our speakers. They all sound. We are very careful about who we put on our call. So we trust that you can go back and listen to any of these speakers and get your questions answered. And you want to do that. You want to do that. We see people dying every day. So go to our website again, HollandHeightsCoc.net. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings in life. Thank you for loving the world. And God, we thank you, Father, for sending your only Son. And we know it's all part of your plan that you would send us a Savior, the Messiah. We thank you for Jesus, your Son, your only begotten, who came to this world and lived among men without sin. And yet he died on that cross and became sin for us. Father, we know that's the greatest love because it was him who said, greater love had no man than this, than lay down his life for his friends. And we're thankful for that tonight. We pray for our listening audience all across this nation. Pray for our brothers and sisters that they're encouraged and edified through this message to know that we all have been forgiven because we've obeyed that truth. And we pray for our visitors who are on the call who are not members of the Church of Christ. And they know we speak the truth in love. And we're narrowing down to what thus said the Lord. What is written is what we believe, Father. We pray they will too. And when their bodies be buried with you, your Son in baptism, his blood can wash away their sins. They too may be added to the true church, your Son's church, the Church of Christ. We love you, Father. We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We had a great week. This week, this Father and Son idea is a great one. We are so thankful for being like Brother Nathan and young men coming up. He's going to be able to carry on the blood-stained banner and wave it to the world. We're thankful for his father when we hear from tomorrow night, Brother Robert Harper Sr. He's going to talk about why your name is being written in heaven, about your name being written in heaven. Now, you want your name written in heaven, so you don't want to miss this tomorrow night. please be on tomorrow night again, 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time. Again, we thank each and every one of you for calling in tonight. Don't miss tomorrow night. Let's close as we got strong. We had a great call tonight, a large call. We're so thankful that we'll continue to get the support from all across the nation, from our brothers and sisters and to our visitors. You are the VIP. We thank you so very much for joining us. And to our members, the members of the Church of Christ, we thank you for your support. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your calls, your emails, and your encouragement for us to continue this nationwide gospel meeting effort. Since the month of May, you're encouraging us to continue, and we're going to do just that. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your encouragement and those encouraging words you send us. And thank those who have donated to our cause financially. That's not required, but because of your heart and you want to do it, please go to our website, HollaHeightsCoc.net, and go on online giving. There's a tab for Highlight. There's a tab there for the nationwide gospel meeting call, as well as a mail-in P.O. box you can send it to. We thank you for your support. We love everyone. May God bless you. Have a good night, man. We love you.